It's Wednesday, and so it's another Big News Wednesday with J.R. Jackson, of course. J.R. Jackson, how's it going?
Oh, it's going, it's going. You sound a little bit better, John. You know, I'm happy to see that you're back, that you're speaking, that you get your energy and vitality back. It's good to go, bro. I mean, we'll test it, we'll test it. But at least you're here. At least you're here.
Thank you. I don't feel that much better. You know what I did realize this morning though was I haven't had a monster in like almost 2 weeks now. And I'm feeling terrible. I feel like a monster could blast through this whole congestion thing and this whole like heart that pumps blood thing. I feel like it could bust right back past both of those.
Hey, bro, if it ain't fixed, give it a try. If it ain't broke, there's no need to fix it, man. You got it. There's a regimen you're on. You felt fine. Why are we changing this?
Yeah, exactly. I might have to look into it actually. But anyway, very glad to have you here on another Big News Wednesday. We've got a lot of news we're going to be talking about over the course of the next 90 minutes, starting off with vaccine mandates. Are they having a devastating effect on our healthcare industry, on our transportation industry? No, but people want you to believe that they are, and we'll be talking about that. Then we're going to jump into the ongoing debate over infrastructure. People are fighting back against Kyrsten Sinema. We'll see how effective that is. And then a whole bunch of other stuff. We got Greta Thunberg, and unfortunately no Francesca Fiorentini to do her voice. We got absolutely insane uses of COVID funds. What are states actually spending their COVID funds are? And then a bunch of stuff besides Karens and male Karens. We got all sorts of stuff. But as we go through all this, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that would be great. And if you want to send us messages, you can. Messages you send us right now, we'll be reading during our breaks. But you can also start sending us messages and questions for our live tier 3 member Q&A, which is going to be coming up tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. We do it every month for our tier 3 members on YouTube. And there's a post up on the community tab of the TDR YouTube channel where you can post questions if you want to do that. We love having questions going in, get a nice, fun, lively conversation going. But that said, JR, are you ready to talk about some news?
I think so. I think so.
Okay. I think that I'm probably ready too. I'm having this really weird thing. This is super hot in the scenes. So normally I track all of our chat as we're doing this. It will not let me pop out the YouTube chat, and I'm very frustrated about it. So that combined with eventually talking about Kyrsten Sinema is probably going to make me lose it. So look forward to that. But that said, why don't we launch right into this first story?
Too expendable. After spending months on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic, nurses nationwide could face termination as vaccine mandates take effect in our hospitals. In Colorado alone, 3,800 healthcare facilities are requiring staff to get the shot or get fired by the end of October.
Oh my God. Our whole thing could be falling apart, our healthcare industry, because now in some areas, healthcare professionals are being required to not actively transmit COVID to the people they're helping to save. And we've got not just speculation there from Fox, but also anecdotal evidence. Because they eventually went to this segment. They had their nurses fired over vax mandate segment, and then they had a nurse who was fired over a vax mandate. This is Destiny Carpenter, who appeared on Fox and Friends to lament how she was let go from the Colorado hospital where she worked after telling her supervisor that she would not be getting a COVID-19 vaccination despite a clear hospital policy requiring all healthcare workers to do so. So there's multiple issues here. The first being she could have just gotten the vaccine, and honestly, maybe I'm insane, but it doesn't seem like too much to ask that someone that is like around people with COVID, is treating people for other things other than COVID, might be vaccinated against COVID. That seems reasonable to me. What do you think, JR?
Yeah, of course. There's a thing though, but also you can tell from the way that whole thing was posed. It's okay, so there's 3,800 medical nurses that are potentially gonna get, they either have to get the vaccination or get fired. It's encompassing it in this one particular argument that claims they're being fired. They're choosing to leave their jobs. They're not being fired just because they're there. You're not following the same processes. You're not following the rules of the employment. And by the way, that's fine, bro. That's your choice. There's no, hey, I want to get vaccinated and stay here. No, you're fired anyway because we don't like you. No, no, you made the decision to not do this thing. And the result of that decision is you not working here anymore because it doesn't fit this. If you work for a construction company and you're building a new high rise, you gotta wear a hard hat, you gotta wear steel toe boots. That's safety, bro. And if you don't want to, because steel toe boots are kind of uncomfortable and you have wide feet or whatever the hell is wrong with you, then you're gonna have to maybe do something else or deal with it. Which one is it gonna be? But this is the rules of this employment if you wanna work here, or don't be in construction anymore.
Exactly. But Fox has ulterior motives. So first of all, to make it exciting. Like, you could presumably have, like, you know, one of those big graphics, TYT host fired over refusing to wear pants. Like, yeah, there are things that are required of you to work somewhere, and that's not new. We didn't come up with that during the pandemic. It's been around for a while. But that's just one issue. There's at least two others. The second is that they have her on here to rail against vaccine mandates, which are a tyrannical overextension of government power, while not acknowledging that Fox News Media has a vaccine mandate. So she came on a show with a vaccine mandate to talk about how those are dictatorial. They didn't acknowledge that. And at no point did Ainsley Earhart, by the way, who you saw in that video, acknowledge that she's vaccinated, or that Fox News requires all their staff members to communicate whether they're vaccinated or be forced to wear masks if they do not. So that's the second problem, is the hypocrisy. And that has been just a standard. Like, we're gonna go over all the different shows railing against vaccine mandates recently. Every single one of the people working on those shows is vaccinated at this point, but they have to pretend that they don't. Because again, this is never about having everyone have the same level of protection. They've always been better protected. It's about them continuing to profit off of the inequality, the continued death via vaccine suspicion and hesitancy that they're helping to produce. So, Jer, that hypocrisy is the second issue.
I mean, this is the thing. And also, Sage Steele was making some news. She's the ESPN anchor woman who's, she used to do the NBA report. Now she's still with the company, but she's had some comments and things that she said that's gotten her into a little bit of back and forth. And she went on Jay Cutler's show and talked about how she was forced to do this scary and pushy vaccine mandate from ESPN. But I did it. Hey, bro, what are we talking about this for? It's turned into this, you know, conservatives like to say libs or virtue signaling, and they want to say they're better than you. What's the point of letting everybody know that you didn't want to do it, but you did it anyway? That's what a lot of these are empty declarations of what's happening. The healthcare workers up in Maine, all the nurses said, are we gonna walk out? Yeah, let's walk out. And then 12 of them walked out, and the other 1,500 stayed at their job because they like their job and they're okay with actually what's happening. They want to say all this to get some kind of clout. Then after getting the clout, they go ahead and do it anyway, because like, oh, I got my clout. I just let them know that I'm a badass. Now I'm good. Yeah. That's the only reason to do this, because the people aren't following through with this. They're just saying, I'm gonna stand up. And by the way, if you follow through with it, if you're gonna be an activist, you know what happens to activists? We've always seen this back in the civil rights era. Civil rights activists, they'd end up in jail. They'd have consequences for the things they were doing because they're trying to push our society to a better place. If you're this righteous activist for the COVID, for the anti-COVID movement, hey, bro, lose your job then. That's part of the consequences. Maybe you'll bring some more attention to it. Why do you want both sides of it? You can be an activist that's standing up against a tyrannical government, but then you want to keep your job. Hey, this is the rules of the place you've chosen to work. If it's not the situation there, you can have to pay the consequences. Maybe you'll make a big deal out of it and get people on your side. Go for it, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that story in our production meeting. And when I saw the headline, like, I didn't want to get it, but I got it because of the vaccine mandate. My only response was, yeah, that's what it's for. That's literally the only thing that it's for. And hey, what do you know? It works like 99.9% of the time. And do you know what's gonna happen to Sage Steele, is the name of the person you said? Do you know what's gonna happen to Sage Steele? Nothing bad, just gonna be protected against COVID. And it's gonna be very easy to even forget that you got it. I got the shot, it doesn't have any effect on me anymore, like, other than the protection against COVID. Not as much. I got J&J, unfortunately. That's my own problem or whatever. I'm dealing with that. But that's it. That's it. It's not going to make you sterile. It's not going to kill you in 2 years. That's just not what's going to happen. Yeah. But let's turn to the third problem with what Fox News is doing. Because Fox News is not just bringing on people who refuse to comply with the mandate and saying, this is freedom. this is liberty. There are not many, but they're doing the freedom thing, eagles and lions and all that. That's not what they're doing here. They are very much lying about how much of this we're seeing. So a guy pointed out, this is anecdotal information. Bringing on one nurse who got fired is fine, I guess. But if you try to make it seem like it's something bigger than that, then we're gonna have to respond with the actual evidence. So we'll get to their messaging in a bit. But the actual evidence shows that no, it is not some sort of like wave of firings. So North Carolina's hospital system, we found out via the Washington Post, fired about 175 workers in one of the largest ever mass terminations due to a vaccine mandate. Here, the Washington Post is kind of doing the foxing, because you read that headline, you think, dear God, 175 workers? Look, that is 175 workers. But as New York City Southpaw pointed out on Twitter, 99.5% of their employees complied with the mandate. But you had to go down several paragraphs past that misleading headline to even know that. The actual headline is vaccine mandate, massive rousing success. Virtually every single person complied with it. And we're still getting the evidence, but that's not the only piece that we have. We had the Truman Medical Center's University Health in Kansas City. They had given 5,000 workers until September 20th to get vaccinated. Apparently 39 resigned rather than do so. That is quite a bit less than 1%. So again, more than 99% are complying with it. And it's not just healthcare. You see this in transportation as well, in the airlines. United Airlines says that about 593 of their employees might end up getting fired. Again, that sounds like a lot. That's less than 1% not complying, and only about 3% even applied for exemptions for medical or religious reasons or whatever. Even combining those two, that is a small percentage of the total workforce, and we're seeing similar things at other airlines as well. So as we go forward, just bear in mind any narrative that this is some sort of like apocalypse and a deserved one because the government is so overreaching is simply not being demonstrated by the data that we have so far.
Yeah, and this thing, they know that this continues on that same line of the fake approach to what's really happening. You say this is happening, when in reality, if the other way is going, where people are actually getting the vaccination and people are beginning to save more lives, the numbers are gonna look a little better. And we're gonna wonder, man, what happened to all those people that quit and are dying and aren't getting vaccinated? No, they're actually getting vaccinated, but that follow-up or that very big aspect of this story just isn't being reported for some reason. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because when numbers do start evening out and more people get it, because also I read a quick article this morning, more Republicans are now identifying, Republican voters and people in the country, just citizens saying, yeah, the more of them are getting vaccinated, they're easing into it, they're lightening up on their opposition to it. That's gonna be happening as they see people around them die. It's just how it's gonna work. So as that happens more, we're gonna see things get a little better, but we're still gonna have this narrative that there's this iron fist that's been thrust upon everyone.
Yeah.
And then they've been forced to do this. No, they've chosen now. This is a choice.
Yeah. Now look, there might be some that use, you know, what are apparently like the epidemic of fake vaccination and mask cards and exemption cards, whatever. There might be a bit of that. What I would also say there's likely to be a good bit of is in public polls where you like ask people, have you been vaccinated? I bet a significant number of Republicans will continue to say that they haven't. But when facing a mandate, they go and get vaccinated because nobody wants to lose their job. Like, I doubt they're gonna go around to their community and be like, I got vaccinated. But I think that they're gonna get vaccinated.
That was happening early. That was happening early in the vaccination when the vaccine started coming out. Not early, but I'd say around early summer. It's specifically in Missouri. Many people there were like, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get the vaccine, but I'm not gonna tell anyone. It was like in secret because you didn't wanna get lambasted by your community.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether you were actually opposed to it or not, if you know that you're surrounded by a bunch of smooth brains that are not, they're gonna give you hell over it. Well, then you might say that you don't, that you are not getting vaccinated, but you also don't want to get COVID. So Fox is spreading this anecdotal information about nurses being fired, people being fired because of the vaccine mandates, when the data shows that that's actually not widespread. Why would they be doing this? Why pretend that it's more widespread than it's not? Well, I can't speak to all of the reasons, but one at least is that it's sort of a get out of jail free card. If you pretend that lots of people are being fired, you can use that to explain something else. What do I mean? We have an example just from last night of this. Laura Ingraham claimed, "It's almost always a lie when they say the hospitals are being overwhelmed." You've probably heard during this wave, during past waves, ICUs filling up, people being turned away, elective procedures being delayed, people literally dying because they can't get a bed in a hospital. Well, she's not having any of that. She said, "We now know that when they say the hospitals are being overwhelmed, it's almost always a lie. With the exception of a few big city hospitals in the US, our hospital system was stretched for sure, but it was never overwhelmed. And with the Delta variant, any hospitals that were stretched usually found themselves in that situation due to staffing shortages created by their stupid vaccine mandates." So that's what it is. It looks really bad that hospitals are getting overwhelmed and people are literally dying because they can't get a bed. It makes the people who are causing that look terrible. It makes sense. They're encouraging people to do stuff that gets them sick. Hospitals get overwhelmed and people needlessly die. Now, you could try to contend with that and say, you know, maybe we're gonna have to change up our messaging. Or you can just say, no, no. The only reason it's overwhelmed is because of something the commies did. Despite the fact that that is on its face insane in a couple of different ways. The first is that it is not just a couple of rural hospitals that have been over, or a couple of urban hospitals. You can find evidence from all over the country. Whole states' ICU systems being overwhelmed, let alone the evidence of people dying as a result of it. But more importantly, it is kind of an insane thing to say that they're only being overwhelmed and they've only been overwhelmed because of the vaccine mandates, when the vaccine mandates are literally just being implemented right now. We've had stories like that for over a year before there was a vaccine, let alone mandates. So it would seem on its face to be quite untrue, but this is Laura Ingraham and the audience of people who willingly watch Laura Ingraham, so I have a feeling they're not gonna notice that.
Yeah, no, that she needs to provide them with this excuse, because also the mayor of Anchorage up there in Alaska, he also said the same thing, Dave Bronson. He said, "Oh man, our hospitals are at capacity only because of all the droves of healthcare officials that are leaving." And of course, someone in the field had to point out and say, no. So this guy, Jared Costin, is the head of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. He said, no, I haven't heard of one single instance of any of these hospitals where they're having a mass exodus of staff, and that's the reason why we're at capacity. We're at capacity because of the number of patients. So people really in the situation will tell you the truth, and someone that's the head of the city there in Anchorage will tell you, oh, it's because of these mandates. Based off of nothing. So this is gonna be a continuing talking point that's probably generated Fox News or think tanks, and then goes to people like this guy.
Yeah, and by the way, we're focusing on healthcare and we're focusing on airlines and everything, but you probably saw the headlines going around of like tons of cops were gonna be like resigning in protest over this. And then it turned out it was like 16 in a state or something like that. Again, they just overhype it and they lie. They do it in advance of the mandate to try to scare states and localities off from doing the mandates. And then they lie even after the mandates to buttress their position, because it looks like it's less of a fringe extreme thing if tons of people are refusing to comply. If it's just a couple of nurses, then that isn't a huge thing, emblematic of a sort of foundational ideological fight about freedom in America. That's just a couple of anti-vax nurses is what it is at the end of the day. And now here is the thing, the fact that these places are overcrowded is not just a problem because some people will be turned away, some people will die. It's also horrible for the people working there right now, the people who have presumably complied with the mandate. Laura Ingraham does not care about them, Ainsley Earhart doesn't care about them, but they still do matter. And here's what's happening. This is a crazy story. Cox Medical Center Branson workers will soon now have an added layer of protection after reports of staff assaults by patients tripled this past year. 300 to 400 of their staff are gonna be receiving a personal panic button on their badge. So that when they start getting, like literally like in The Walking Dead, the patients begin attacking the staff, they can press a panic button and don't have to go to a place to press the panic button. It'll literally be on there. One of the nurses who was not invited on Fox and Friends, Ashley Blevin, said that in the past year, staff have been spit on, cussed out, and in some cases beaten by patients. There was something in this particular place, there were 73 injuries as a result of these attacks. And Blevin says, They come in here and they have to sit in here because everywhere's full. We have no placements to put anybody, and that's frustrating on the patient. That's frustrating on us, and I think that's increasing a lot of violence towards everyone. So again, a consequence of overcrowding that is being caused by way too many people having COVID, not because of vaccine mandates.
It's just the way it's always gonna be. I mean, if they'll talk about, you know, look out for the medical professionals that are leaving. Let's not look out for the medical professionals that are there. The ones that are taking care of you when you get rolled in there. Let's spit on them to the point where they need these kinds of measures to make sure that they're safe. But we're still supposed to expect them to go into work every day. You know, this again, the iron fist is running them out. The iron fist is not beating them while they're in there. Your own flesh fist when you're punching people in the face over doing their job. It's the most frustrating thing, and it's the backwards thought process you can have. And they'll foment the anger on TV and through their politicians. And when it happens, they go, I don't know where all this violence came from. You started it, bro.
100%. And they started it. And they're continuing it. Matthew Gertz, who works for Meaning Matters, does great work. He just put up a couple of screenshots from different shows. And if you watch Fox News, this is what you're getting literally every day. This is from one night. Dems war on the unvaccinated. Ingram Guest risks job over refusing vaccines. Standing up to major universities, pushing draconian COVID mandates. Vaccines are being pushed over treatments. Every single one of those hosts is vaccinated, has been vaccinated for months and months and months. Tucker Carlson did a whole monologue about how caring about COVID and not wanting to get sick is a new religion. So his insanely religious audience is going to be motivated even more against it. It's a competing religion they need to fight against. That's killing God. He literally said that. And this, and why? Why do all of this? Well, insiders have talked to Meaning Matters. One Fox News insider recently said that their anti-vax commentary has been, quote, great for ratings. Another current Fox employee said the numbers clearly demonstrate that there are vanishingly fewer subjects these days that get, quote, our viewers more excited or engaged than those kinds of segments. And I will remind you that initially when I predicted that Tucker Carlson was gonna turn against vaccines, that was not a thing that people thought was going to happen, because everybody assumed they want the economy to start up again. It's Trump's vaccine, why would they turn against it? And it's everything that Fox does now is just a billion different reasons every single day to be suspicious of the vaccine and believe that if you want to be a true patriot, you can't get vaccinated, being told to you by a bunch of rich schmucks who are all vaccinated. That's all Fox is.
And when that point's brought up, crickets. I've literally seen no one say, well, Fox knew, if they do it, it's okay. They just don't respond to that very blatant fact that Fox News is participating in the Orwellian nature and the authoritarianism and the beating you back and the lack of your freedoms. They're going through all of it, but let's not talk about them.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're gonna be moving to a far less frustrating topic, the fight over the infrastructure reconciliation. That's gonna be fun. But anyway, we're gonna take a short break, respond to your comments after this. Okay, let's get into it, JR. We got some fun stuff to talk about. Kyrsten Sinema, it's gonna be great. Let's jump right into this video.
If there is an agreement that the president strikes on this Build Back Better agenda, we will vote for the bipartisan bill. We're willing to negotiate. We've said front load the benefits, don't have them as many years. All of the folks at the White House know we're being reasonable, and literally one senator, Kyrsten Sinema, is holding up the will of the entire Democratic Party.
What has she said that she wants, as far as you know?
That's the question. The president keeps begging her, tell us what you want, put a proposal forward. You see the progressives, look at what we've compromised on. We went from 6 trillion to 3.5 trillion. Then they said we need to pass a bill in the Senate first. We said, even if you come up with an agreement, that's fine. Then they said, go blow 3.5 trillion. We said, okay, we're willing to negotiate, front load the benefits. Let's talk about the years. We are willing to compromise. How do you compromise, John, when Sinema is not saying anything? And what's mind-boggling is you have unanimity in the House. Tomorrow, the Speaker could get a deal in the House on a number. And I believe you have 48 senators. I believe Senator Manchin would come on board. It's important for people to realize this. This is not progressives versus moderates. This is the entire Democratic Party and Joe Biden versus Kyrsten Sinema.
I appreciate like everything that Congressman Khanna there said. The only thing I would add is it is not just cinema. It's a lot of cinema. And she's most frustrating because he's totally right there. Nobody knows what it is that she wants, what she has a problem with. She doesn't have her own bill. I heard a week or two ago on Axios that she has spreadsheets. Nobody knows what's in them. So that is very frustrating. But cinema is not the only problem. I mean, you have like Manchin, who announced today, said, all we need to do is pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill, sit down and start negotiating in good faith. That's it. You just need to give me everything I want. And then I swear we'll negotiate in good faith afterwards. So cinema is not the only problem. That's Manchin. And it's not even just Manchin. It's not just the senators. Nancy Pelosi announced earlier this week, oh, that whole like voting on both of them at the same time that I promised we would do, and I got all sassy about it, saying you ain't getting one without the other. I'm gonna give you one without the other, actually. Sorry, what am I supposed to do? Those senators are being so mean and so cruel that I have to betray you. But it's only because of them, so you're not mad at me, right? No, I am. I'm mad at cinema, and I'm mad at Manchin. I'm mad at Nancy Pelosi. I'm also mad at some of the other centrists that just hide behind those, but are almost certainly being as frustrating behind closed doors. So there's a lot to be mad about, JR.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people that are contributing to this. So this is the reason why so many people will, if this isn't your job to look into how this process is working, you'll see this and go, oh yeah, they're trying to pass an infrastructure bill. Oh yeah, and there's another bill that, like, why can't they just pass these bills? It's one of those ridiculous things where the process has so many ups and downs and ins and outs and negotiations here, and then that process and that deadline and that vote and the previous one and next year and this year and what we're covering, all these things get all mangled up just for the purpose that many people won't really understand what's happening. And you have to base yourself off of what you see, you happen to see or read someone saying is happening. Who knows what your source is? Who knows which person you decide to trust? But nobody's doing it in good faith is the problem. And honestly, I see that's why Ro Khanna did. He's kind of trying to focus it on one person being Kyrsten Sinema, because that helps people.
It makes sense strategically.
Yeah, to have something to focus on. If you say, so 10 Democratic senators, and name 10 Democratic senators that most people have never heard of, are on this, they'd go, okay, I guess that's like, what does that mean? Who cares? Why 10? It's just, it kind of muddies it up a little bit. And yes, it's a little bit inaccurate that it's just her, but maybe that's his reason for even going after just her.
Yeah, maybe. And others are trying to appeal to her. So we've got this video of Representative Cori Bush. Here's what Representative Bush had to say.
We need that prescription drug reform, and to say, oh, you know what? You can continue to have to worry about whether you're going to pay your rent or get the life-saving medications that you need. Because you know what? My donors are the ones who have me here. You know, it's sickening, but I'm speaking to her humanity, and I hope she hears me. I hope she hears me. Every single person in your district deserves your focus and your representation. They deserve for you to pay attention to them and put them first. Public servant you are, so serve the public, humanity first.
I appreciate everything that Representative Bush is saying there. But she ain't there working for humanity, Kyrsten Sinema. She's there working for her corporate donors. Like, and that is fundamentally the problem. It's something I've been talking about from the very beginning. Like, do you think that Kyrsten Sinema is gonna be shedding tears if nothing passes? She's gonna be devastated if they don't get their bipartisan bill, because that's the cost of stinking their reconciliation. I sort of doubt it. I think that she'll quickly console herself. A little bit of rosé, a new wig, and then move on. I don't think that she's gonna care at all. I don't think humanity even enters into it.
You see the difference between someone who wants to represent their constituents, maybe because Cori Bush is new, because you see a lot of people come in there as new representatives or senators, and they have fire, and they wanna actually do something, represent their constituency. And for some reason, you know, some, Kyrsten Sinema has been there forever, but long enough at least to be corrupted and have money being the focus. The reason why she doesn't have any answers as to what she wants is because she hasn't been given those answers yet. Because they don't know how the reconciliation portion may go. They don't know exactly how Nancy Pelosi is gonna do it. Maybe they're getting closer to knowing that, and maybe the confidence in what she's gonna do is building. But Kyrsten Sinema has no answers because she has no principles. She hasn't been given those answers yet. Anyone who has something they really want to say and something they really want to do, an approach that's an end point and would help the country, they're going to say it. No one has a definite endpoint, says, oh man, this is how we get there.
But I don't want to talk about it.
Who does that? Yeah. Someone who doesn't have those answers, who's waiting to be told what they need to do.
Yeah, it's just, it's so incredibly frustrating. I want to give you a few of the other comments about this process, because you know, even Pelosi now is saying they're gonna vote on one, and the progressives are saying no. Did we stutter? We've been saying for months that's not the way it's gonna go. And at least as of right now, they're holding strong. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said, "Let me be clear, bringing the so-called bipartisan infrastructure plan to a vote without the Build Back Better Act at the same time is a betrayal. We will hold the line and vote it down. This is not the time for half measures or to go back on our promises." Bernie Sanders said, "No infrastructure bill should pass without the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. That is the agreement that was made, and that is the agreement we must keep." Elizabeth Warren earlier today actually also sided with the House progressives. And also, let's be clear, and with the Biden agenda, because those two are together. It is these radical status quo corporate candidates that are against it. Ilhan Omar said, "If we don't pass Build Back Better before infrastructure, we're never going to pass it." That is 100% true. It is obvious that is what the strategy is. That means no childcare, no green jobs, no drug price reform, no Medicare expansion. Totally right there. And so we'll see. You know, they're holding strong. Pelosi is saying she's gonna do the vote. But if Pramila Jayapal says that at least half, like 50 progressives would vote it down if it's not accompanied with the reconciliation bill, Pelosi is not gonna bring it up just so that the whole thing can die. Right. So if she pulls it, then that means that they have sent strong signals, not only in public, but also privately to Pelosi, that they are not gonna back down on this.
I mean, Thursday's a big day. The big news Thursday, bro.
Big news Thursday, that's what it is.
It's the one this week. Who's on tomorrow? Is it Francesca?
Who is on tomorrow, actually?
Man, I'm a little jealous, we'll actually. This is gonna be fun. Slash not fun at all.
Just Skype in.
I have a bad feeling, gotta be honest.
Yeah, do you? I actually don't know who's on. We're gonna have to find that out. Do we have a guest? We'll find out. Anyway, it's too big news. You can't fit a co-host and the news. But anyway, we do have a few other updates on this. So everybody hates Kyrsten Sinema. That is pretty clear. I don't know, other than corporate CEOs and lobbyists, what her constituency is. New polls have shown that her approval rating has dropped down to like 18% among Democrats. We also have this sort of exclusive being provided to us a little bit ahead of time. A MoveOn survey of 300,000 of their members in Arizona, many of whom actually volunteered or otherwise supported Senator Sinema during her last campaign. You remember when she was pretending to be a progressive, showed that 89% of them would be less likely to support her in the next election if she continues to obstruct President Biden's Build Back Better plan. And that's huge numbers, but I want to give you some of the specific things that the members said when they were asked by MoveOn. One said, "I worked for her election as a volunteer. I'm mortified to say and realize what a mistake I made. She is completely uninterested in working for her constituents. She has people she's doing favors for and is working to achieve her own personal success and money." Another said, "I worked very hard to help get Senator Sinema elected. I felt she was the only candidate that represented the actual constituency she would be representing. I felt she would listen to the residents of Arizona and bring our voices and concerns to Washington. She has turned out to be only representing herself. If she continues with this self-serving showboating, I will do everything in my power to make sure she is never reelected again." And others said similar things. And I love it. I love it that people are seeing through. She still tweets as if she's a progressive sometimes, by the way, but she doesn't act like it. And I love that people are seeing through that. They're seeing through the lies. They notice the corruption. They know not only what she's doing, but why she's doing it, who she's doing it for. And hopefully, like, I'm not even at this point interested in that scaring her into acting right. I'm interested in that producing her getting kicked out of office and never holding elected office in America again. That is where I hope this is leading.
She's already proven what she's about. There's no turning back. You know, you have to choose politicians once they're in office. The 90% of their job is to stay in office, whatever it takes. And traditionally, that's getting donor money, that's getting big money, and making sure that you can fund another campaign right after you've finished your last one. So Kyrsten Sinema had to decide whether or not she's gonna go with the grassroots progressive start that she had, or go with the corporatists that are paying her now. And she's like, well, corporates have more money. We haven't changed any laws that keep them from giving me money to get back in office. So that's just the way I have to go. Principles be damned. how do I keep my job? It's like if you work at a bank, you show up on time, you do the right thing, you know approve good loans or whatever the hell it is bankers do that keep their jobs. And then once you keep your job, you're not gonna stop doing the things that make you have that job. You're gonna keep doing it. That's all her thought process is. Me being a politician means I'm a liar and I don't actually stand up for my constituents. I stand up for the people who pay me.
Yeah. We want to be very clear. We're not bankers. We don't know what they do, really.
If I figured out, I may have had a better interest rate. Who knows?
Maybe that would help. Anyway, we'll be watching. Tomorrow's a big day. Definitely you won't want to miss that. I'm gonna press on. I think that we could do it relatively expeditiously. But why don't we jump into this next video?
When I say climate change, what do you think of? I think of jobs. Green jobs. Green jobs. We must find a smooth transition towards a low carbon economy. There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, 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 blah.
So it might not have been clear at the beginning, but Greta Thunberg was not being honest there when she talks about, yes, green jobs, ho. Although obviously there will be green jobs. She is there speaking at the Youth for Climate Summit in Italy, and she is imitating the world leaders who go 2% more, 2% farther than other politicians in pretending that they care about the climate, pretending that they're gonna do something. And they make promises and they come up with catchphrases. And very often it sounds like that. But she's heard it for years. The other youth activists in that room have heard it for years and they're sort of sick of it, as will become clear in Greta's continuing remarks.
This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah. Build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words. Words that sound great, but so far has led to no action. Our hopes and dreams drown in their empty words and promises. Of course, we need constructive dialogue, but they've now had 30 years of blah, 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 and where has that led us?
Yeah, and obviously, and by the way, it isn't, as she knows, it isn't just, it hasn't led us anywhere, it served its purpose. It was blah, 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 as years go by, and as businesses continue doing what they're doing, and as rich a-holes continue profiting, and more, more energy is taken out of the ground and burned, and more damage was done, they were buying time. They weren't buying us a real future, but they were buying time for themselves. And I love that, you know, she sees through it. She is, one of the things about her that's made her different than a lot of other climate activists is her willingness to call out those who profess to be climate allies in positions of power in a number of different countries. And I just hope that the next generation and the generation voting every single year moving into the voting population sees through all this on climate, but on everything else too. Like, yeah, I mean, JR, we've been going through months now of the debate around this infrastructure bill. And it is just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. We had that quote from Joe Manchin, and it was, all we need to do is pass the bipartisan infrastructure bill, sit down and start blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. It's just the same old lies.
It's pushback.
You know, the stuff about the Supreme Court, like the hypocrisy of the Supreme Court of Mitch McConnell is just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. We know that at this point.
It's gonna go on. This is where my pessimism comes in with this. I love what Greta Thunberg is doing. I love that she still has the passion and the fire. But even when you do something like this, when you call out the lack of actual action where it's only been lip service, it's very true. Like, I don't think anyone can deny that. How far have we gotten, you know? So when you see that, I worry that the large narrative will be, now she's turned on the people who supported her, you know? It's an isolation type of approach that'll happen to be like, why is she dogging out the people that want green jobs? Why is she dogging out the people that want to actually do something by 2050? Missing the point that they don't. Because we buy that they're BS, yeah, that they're out to really help people, and they're really not. And honestly, this is where more of my pessimism comes. Bro, it's over. There's no such thing. We're not getting there. I love what Greta Thunberg's doing. I love what Vanessa Nakati is doing. I love all this stuff where these young climate activists are doing something and they're pushing for something. We're not going to listen. As long as money is still the driving factor for not doing it, we will continue to do it. It's over, bro. Yes, I'm sorry. I don't want to pour cold water on the whole movement. But it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
We will see, and we'll be reporting on it. But yeah, the most important thing is, and hopefully will come out of the coverage around her appearance at the Youth for Climate, is she is not turning on the people who support her. They never supported her. They never supported the climate movement. They are liars, just of a slightly different appearance. That's it. They're a bit savvier. But they might as well be Republican senators, because they ain't doing anything when it comes to climate.
Perfect.
But
for
that said,
cycles.
You mentioned Ugandan activist Vanessa Nakate. So why don't we go to her response or her commentary at that climate summit?
But there is one thing I almost never hear leaders talk about, and that is loss and damage. For many of us, reducing and avoiding is no longer enough. You cannot adapt to lost cultures. You cannot adapt to lost traditions. You cannot adapt to lost history. You cannot adapt to starvation.
Yeah, obviously great points. And the larger point about them not acknowledging the cost of the continued inaction is 100% true. They talk about cost constantly, but only hypothetical costs about actually doing something. They never acknowledge what not doing something has already been costing us, whether in culture, in language, in traditions, as she's talking about, or literally the damage done by extreme weather events, loss of arable land and things like that. That is there, it is real, it's not in the future, it's not hypothetical, we're experiencing it every day, but they don't have to acknowledge that. And so in both of those areas that Greta and Vanessa there were talking about, we need to shift people's understanding the way they talk about these issues in those areas.
See if we do. It's a tough uphill battle, but maybe we'll get there, man. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe in next Wednesday, I'll be in a better mood. I don't trust or believe in anything right now.
I know. I'm pessimistic myself. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, we're gonna take our second break. When we come back, what are some southern states using their COVID funds for? I wonder if you can guess. We'll have that for you after this. Okay, I still got a little bit of voice. We're gonna use it while we've got it. Let's jump into this next story. Alabama has not done a good job in literally any way when it comes to the pandemic. They actually have the highest death rate from COVID-19 in America. And so one would think, if you are provided with a bunch of money from the federal government to deal with the pandemic, you should, actually do that, start to take it seriously, because this wave isn't over and more are almost certainly gonna come, because it's America. They have a different idea. They're going to be using a bunch of COVID relief funds to construct 3 large prisons and renovate others, because it's Alabama, so why not? State lawmakers began a special session this week to discuss a $1.3 billion construction project, which would use up to $400 million from the American Rescue Plan funds allocated to the state. So nearly 20% of all of the money they've been allocated, they see that money and they think, we could really be locking up more people in Alabama. So we're gonna do that. The Alabama Department of Corrections reported a total of over 2,000 COVID cases among inmates in their prisons already. Over 1,100 positive tests among their staff as of about a week ago. And so the case could be made that we need more space because so many people are already getting COVID in our overcrowded prisons, which is potentially true. But many point out that rather than redesigning facilities or building new ones, research indicates that decarceration can be an important tool in halting the spread of the virus. And some law advocates have urged lawmakers like those in Alabama to consider sentencing reform instead. Like, if you have a crowded prison, sure, you can build a bigger prison, but you could also not lock up people over nonsense. That would be one way to do it. And by the way, not only would that save their lives, perhaps provide a little bit more justice to Alabama, it might save you something like $400 million in COVID funds. But what do I know? I'm not in charge of Alabama, JR.
They have no reason to save that money for anything else, because this is their whole purpose for wanting to use these type of things. They'll complain about COVID funds coming to their states because Joe Biden is overreaching. He's using all this American taxpayer dollars to just waste away money. But once they get it, they don't do anything with it. Again, the entire construction is $1.3 billion. What's that reconciliation package that everyone's complaining about that's happening federally in the House and trying to get something passed? Isn't that $3.5 billion? Am I wrong, John?
$3.5
billion for the entire thing. This one discussion about prisons in this little state of Alabama that's overrun with COVID, it's $1.3 billion. But we're not gonna go pulling our hair out about how they wanna build more prisons with $1.3 billion. We're gonna complain about actually building something for American citizens with $3.5 billion. This is the discussion we're having. And we're gonna take some of that money that we could use to help citizens in the state and put it towards the prison system? Bro, no, this is the whole idea that they ever wanted to do in the first place. This is just the way it is. They wanted to, so disparage the money that you get, use the money for nefarious reasons like this, and then continue complaining anyway as if you didn't. If this story wasn't reported, there's no way they'd be announcing, hey, you guys, so we're gonna use COVID funds to build prisons. They want that to be under wraps. They want that to be something they just do. Our reasons, our policies, our money, not anything to do with helping citizens. Let's just push this more.
Sure.
Who knows? I mean, who knows? Are they gonna be private prisons? Who's gonna pay for
it? Well, JR, I mean, it's not that they're not trying to help some of their citizens. That is a lot of money that's gonna go to some people constructing those prisons. Yeah. What if accidentally there wasn't like miles between the legislators putting the money into it and those who were gonna get the money? What if there were connections there? I mean, that's impossible.
There's
no way that these legislators would invest in any of these companies beforehand. That wouldn't happen.
John, that would be corruption.
It would be corruption. That. It would be a first in Alabama and in America. But yeah, like they get this money to actually save their constituents' lives to try to help people. And they just, nope, they pay back the people that put them there. In any event, there is one extra level of this. You went through sort of the back and forth there, JR.
Yeah.
So Gerald Nadler, US House Judiciary Committee Chairman, sent a letter on Monday to the Treasury Department Secretary Janet Yellen asking Treasury to, quote, prevent the misuse of American Rescue Plan funding by any state, including Alabama, to build prisons. So once they found out about this, they wanted to stop it because that is a huge chunk of money and that is not what the money is for. The Department of Justice last year sued Alabama, saying state prisons for men are, quote, riddled with prisoner on prisoner and guard on prisoner violence. And so when I see that, I want to stop for a second, because that's the sort of thing where you see that and you think, oh my God, like they really need to renovate this. They need to reform these prisons, do something about it. But I don't know about you. When I see that sentence, I think there ain't a Republican in Alabama or across the country that sees that and cares at all. Like
zero.
The fact that it's prisoner on prisoner or guard on prisoner violence, those are prisoners. Who the hell cares if they're being beaten or if they're being killed? Like, and so it's the sort of thing where John Oliver did a show about overheating in Texas prisons and how many people actually die as a result of it. And it's a thing where like, yeah, obviously if you care about humans, if you have any empathy, just because someone's in prison, you don't want them dying from the heat. But we live in a country where a significant portion of our population doesn't care if prisoners are getting COVID or getting beaten or dying of the heat, ever have any right to vote or anything like that. These are animals effectively. I'm just so sick of it.
That's why they know they can do it. And by the way, if you have instances of guard on prisoner violence, is the response to then open another one so we can have more of it? Reform, your reform goes to making more of this bad situation present rather than fixing that bad situation. I just don't get how that works. I get how it works, money. But how you can pass it off as a legitimate reason to spend more money on the same problem.
Yeah. And by the way, the governor, the Republican governor responded to Nadler and talked about how they can't get anything done in DC, which I also love. They do so much obstruction, they make it impossible to legislate. And then they use that as an excuse to don't mess with us in our states if you guys can't get anything done. Great how that works out. Anyway, that is all the time that we have for our first hour. So if you're watching on one of your linear platforms, thank you so much for that. But we do have more news coming up for those on if you're watching on Twitch or if you're watching on YouTube. We've got a couple more stories that we're gonna go through. We do have a short break though, but we'll be right back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.